to see. We're going to read that again because this is one of the most wonderful verses in Scripture. Because today, we can know that we have a living hope. A hope that is built on resurrection. And Peter says, all praise goes to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for by His great mercy we are being born again. Because God has raised Jesus from the dead. And therefore we live with a great expectation. And we have an inheritance which is priceless. An inheritance that is being kept for us in heaven. Pure, undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. What a hope! And through faith, God is protecting us by His power until we reach this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for us all to see. Hallelujah! We have a living hope. The pastor was preaching and one of the guys fell on his wife's shoulders and fell asleep. And the pastor was very annoyed and said to his wife, "Wake him up." She said, "You put him to sleep, you woke him up." I hope this morning you won't be going to sleep, because I hope this morning you realize we have a hope that is beyond all hope this morning. It's a living hope. That's how the Bible describes it, as a living hope. Last week, I ended our first session of the first two verses of 1 Peter, which you can listen to on the internet if you weren't able to come last week. But God wants you to know in the first two verses that you're born again, that you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter told us in the first two verses last week about this wonderful grace that God has called us, He predestinated us. And we left you with certain things for you to look at last week. By the way, when we talked last week, we mentioned the places of where Peter was preaching his gospel. And of course, Peter was preaching his gospel in those five places. Because of persecution, they had been scattered all over. And you can see them there on the map. Bithynia, Pontus, Cappadocia, Galatia, and the country of Asia there. And also you can see Antioch, which is right in the middle. And when the persecution broke out, the people of God were scattered right away through that area. And praise God, churches were being set up. So those were the areas in which Peter writes this wonderful letter to them, telling them amidst all persecution, you can know that you know that you know that you know. You're born again in the family of God. And if you're born again in the family of God, Peter says, as we go on to the verses this morning, then you in actual fact have a living hope. You see, when you're under persecution, when you've lost your house, you've lost your family, you've lost your job, you need to have a hope. When things go wrong in our lives, we need to have a hope. A real hope. A living hope. And we spoke and concluded with these questions for you last week to answer. And I hope you took some time to answer these questions. When things go wrong, how can you be sure that God is in control of your life? I hope you can say, I know that I know that I know that whatever befalls me, He does all things well. I hope you know that you know. Are you willing to trust God when things are out of control? And in many senses, are we willing to trust God when we are in control, in the sense that things are going well? Is there anything that lives outside of God's counsel? He asked that question to Job, you know. Job, who was right on the depths of the depths, questioning God. And God broke into his life in the last few chapters of Job. And He said to Job, where were you, Job, when I planted the stars? Where were you, where did you, when I put the snow? I want to tell you, God's counsel reaches to every one of us this morning. The great news is that no one is outside of God's love, outside of God's grace, outside of God's mercy, and outside of God's counsel. You have got the Holy Spirit if you know Jesus as your Savior, and you have been given a counsel. Read what the Scripture says. The Holy Spirit has been given It has been given for instruction, that's been given to revelation, that's been given to help us in every time of need. But today, Peter gives us this living hope. He goes on to tell these people that, listen, we have got something this world would give anything for. We have got a grace and a calling of someone living inside our lives. Paul could put it this way: let us then fiercely and confidently draw near to the throne of grace, whereby we have God's unmerited favour to us sinners. Mercy is something you don't deserve, but you've received. I am so glad that God loves me this morning and has saved me and called me into His family. But that is, my friend, that is mercy. That's mercy we've received this morning. We do not deserve God's love. But God, in the richness and the fullness of time, sent Jesus down that we might receive mercy, God's unmerited favour. And you have it every moment of every second of every day of your life. We should be so grateful we have got God's unmerited and merited favour on our lives. God loves us so much. Let me just ask you something. God sent Jesus to be spat on a cross. God sent Jesus to be nailed, to be whipped and to be flogged, that you and I might come into His family. If God loved me that much, why would God want to dump me now? Why? If God would go to such extremities, He could have picked any way, but He chose that way for Jesus. I want to tell you, God demonstrated His love, not that we loved Him, but that He loved us and sent His Son for us. Peter says, in the midst of persecution and tribulation, think about how much God loves you. Paul, I believe, who wrote the book of Hebrews, cried to the Jewish believers and said, listen, why don't you go into the mercy seat every morning and ask for God's unmerited favor? Because grace can be help in times when we desperately need it. In every situation in our lives, God's saying, I have grace, 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 grace. There's not a situation you'll face this week where God's grace cannot come and fill the answer to your need or your problem this morning. That is what grace is. Grace is God giving you what you need when you need it. I needed a Savior, and I got God's grace. I need to have revelation, and I need to have a life that is worthy, and I do it when I ask for God's grace. Father, I need tomorrow to get through tomorrow. I need God's grace. You need God's grace where you work. You need God's grace in bringing your family up. You need God's grace every moment of every day. And Paul says, listen, you can come boldly to the throne of grace this morning. You don't have to be thinking, can I go? Paul says, walk through the door. Go boldly into the throne of grace, because there you have a relationship with God, because you have a living hope. I want to tell you this morning, you need to get excited about prayer. Prayer gives us access into the living throne room of God. Moment by moment, day by day, we can boldly come to a throne and proclaim. And it begins by calling God, of course, the author of salvation. And I want to thank you that God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that He, by His great mercy, has saved us. And the whole theme you see in our lives is built on the word resurrection. It said, because God raised Jesus from the dead, we have a living hope. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 said, listen, if Jesus Christ has not risen, we are people most miserable. Because we have no hope. Our hope's not only in the cross of Calvary. Our greatest hope is that Jesus Christ is alive, seated at the right hand of God this morning. That's why we have such a great hope. That is why resurrection is so real. In the book of Acts, they preached resurrection, resurrection, resurrection. And right away through the whole book of Acts, in those 28 chapters, you'll find resurrection, resurrection, resurrection. Because what makes us different from anyone else is we have a Savior who is alive.
Amen.
We do not worship a dead God.
Praise Him.
We have got one who is alive and interceding for us right at this very second.
Praise, thank you.
Hallelujah. We've got a God who said, not only have I put you on this planet Earth to worship me, but I've got something more wonderful for you. I'm going to give you everlasting life. You're going to live forever and ever and ever and ever. Now you might look at someone and say, I hope not, but it's true. If they're born again, they are going to live forever and ever in the family of God. We have a hope. What is your hope on? Winning the lottery? Education? What is it? What's your hope? Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ. That's my only hope. Because everything else will disappoint me. My family will disappoint me. I will disappoint myself daily. My friends will disappoint me. This job disappoints me at times. But I don't think anything in my life, which at times will not be disappointed. But we've got a Savior. The Bible says we will never disappoint us. The Bible uses those words, He will never disappoint those who are living in Him. We pray to God and we thank You that we have resurrection. We have resurrection. We can claim a living hope this morning. I can go to a throne this morning. Linda, as Kevin said, is far away out in Castlevale in that sense. Struggling this morning, can't cope, going through some tremendous battles. But Kevin said, we went to a throne of grace this morning. We opened up heaven's door for her this morning. And I believe that God answers His people. You see, I went to a living God. I went to a God who's able to do more exceedingly than I dare think or ask. I went to a God who now will be sending His angels to protect us. I know there was a keynote speaker who was in such a hurry to get to the venue that when he sat down at the head table just before the meal, before he came up to spoke, he realized he'd forgotten his dentures. And turning to the next man to hear me, he whispered, he said, I'm sorry, I forgot my teeth. The man said, that's no problem. I know you're the keynote speaker. This will be embarrassing. He said, listen, in my briefcase there's a set of dentures. Would you like to try them? And so he did. He says, yeah, but they're a bit too loose. He says, no problem. No problem. He says, there's another pair here. Try these. After about three or four, he finally managed to get a pair which were decent. And so he gave his keynote speech. And everyone applauded. And he sat down and he said, thank you very much. They really did fit perfectly. He said, you are my benefactor. He said, I just owe you everything this morning for getting me out of trouble. He said, listen, I'm new in town and I've been looking for a really good doctor. He said, and I've been looking for a really good dentist. And obviously, he said, you're a really great dentist. Looked around and he said, no. He said, I'm an undertaker. I want to thank you that the God, my benefactor, is not an undertaker. He's an overtaker. Do you know that this morning? Do you know our God this morning is an overtaker? And Peter says there's three things I want to talk as we come to a close. It's not going to be long this morning. But Peter says, I want you to notice something about this living hope. Just see if we can get this living hope up. It is a key word used in the epistles. And the Bible hope is not uncertainty or wishful thinking, but it is a confident expectation of a future blessing based on facts and promises. Living indicates the undying and permanent character of this hope. I want to tell you, is that how you see hope this morning? Corrie Ten Boom put it this way. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at God, you'll be at rest. How wonderful, isn't it? This is a woman who was in a concentration camp in 1942. Her sister had just been executed. Her father was to be executed. She wasn't being fed. She had lice. She was in a disgraceful state for any human being to be in. She had little crews of vitamins. Enough for her and her sister, who was alive at that time. And this little vitamins at least gave them some nourishment. And the other people in her billet, her concentration camp in her hut said, "Would you give us something, please?" She says, "There's only enough for me and my sister." And then she remembered Elijah and the little cruse of oil. This is 1942. This isn't a fantasy story. And she opened that little bottle and gave it to the prisoners in her billet. And that little cruise of oil kept on going. Kept on going. Kept on going. Just a little bit enough of nourishment to keep her going in a filthy, infested concentration camp. Corrie Ten Boom learned, if I look at the world, I'll be distressed. If she'd looked within herself at her shrinking body, which had no skin virtually but bones, lacking of nourishment, she could well have just thrown the towel in. But she looked at God. Her hope was built on a living hope. But there is a God, that He has been resurrected, that He is alive, that He does love you, that He does care for you, that His outrageous grace is over you. No matter whether you're in a concentration camp or in a king's palace, our God is over us. Yes. He's brought you into His banqueting house. And His banner over you is love. His banner over you is love. Peter says, listen, this hope, it started in the past. You can refine it in the present. And it's almost certainly going to be in the future. In the past, we found it through the grace of Jesus Christ. We found out what real hope was. Jesus, on His last week of His life, stood in the middle of the temple and with His arms open, said, if anybody wants to come unto Me, He could give them what they will needed most in life. Jesus declared Himself to be the man of hope. And when the enemy crucified Him, they thought they put all hope to an end. But praise God, our Father raised Him from the dead. And the same power that raises Jesus from the dead lives inside you this morning. Did you know that? Read Ephesians chapter 1. Paul wants you to know and to experience that same power of resurrection. He tells you that. You see, He doesn't want you just to know it. He wants you to know that you know that you know that you know that living inside you is the resurrected Jesus Christ through the power of His Holy Spirit. He wants you to know it. He wants you to experience it. Because like Corrie Ten Boom, when you experience it, you can be in a situation which is beyond humanity and still be clinging to the One who loves you. But it's only when you know that you know that you know. It's only when it has gone from here down into here and has sunk into your spirit that whatever befalls me, all is well. All is well. The present. I want to think about the future. Because He describes this as a priceless inheritance. When we are born again, we have the certain hope of an inheritance. An inheritance that includes all believers will enjoy being with Jesus forever. And I want you to notice some things He said about it as we come to a conclusion. It's incorruptible. Hallelujah. As I came out today, I heard that Barclays Bank have had all their records stolen from someone with all the people that they've been given advice to. Well, I'm in Barclays Bank, but I haven't got enough money to worry about being given advice to, so Setter Abel doesn't concern us. But I don't know. And they're now trying to write to everybody in Barclays Bank to say to them, sorry, your records have been stolen. I don't know what that means in real terms, but my 50p, I believe, I will still be secure. Apparently up to £85,000 now, you're covered. So I'm okay with my 50p. You see, I spent the rest of my pot money on a gift to some young people on Thursday afternoon. So I'm financially struggling at the moment. And of course, this Friday coming, I was reminded very slyly. But I've got a Friday to forget. But what I'm saying is, you can't rely on banks now to keep your stuff, can you? But God says, don't worry. The stuff I've got for you is incorruptible. Because you've been saved, it said in 1 Peter 1 verse 8. What have you been saved? With the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not with such things as corruptible like gold and silver. But you have been saved with the incorruptible blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says it doesn't decay. Oh, it doesn't fade away. You know, it's time I said to my wife, it's time I had probably some more new electrical gadgets because they're beginning to fade out. After 3 years, your electrical gadgets are not much good. You need new ones. And, you know, I keep trying to tell my wife that, but she doesn't seem to, the penny doesn't seem to drop. Doesn't seem to drop. Now, I forgot your name. What is it? Simon. Simon's mum on Thursday home group came and showed us her brand new tablet. It's a lovely new tablet there, and I had a bit of play with it, and I thought to myself, if you want to stay there for a week, I could mess about with it and give you it back, because it's a new toy. But you know things, computers, laptops, phones, they all go wrong. They all go wrong, don't they? You can never have a phone that you can keep for life, which will give you all that you need. I thank God, God's got something for me that's not going to decay. Not going to decay. It can never corrode. Do you know what it really is? It's death proof. That's what it is. It's death proof. Hallelujah. What we have is death proof. Our money certainly isn't. Well, my money certainly isn't. Two pastors were lamenting how they had such a small voice in their community compared to all the wealthy people. They said, if you've got money, it talks, said the first pastor. True, said the second one. And all mine says is goodbye. I praise God one day he's going to say hello. Come and see what I've got for you. You've got a hope this morning which is incorruptible. Incorruptible means it can never fade away. It's death proof. Hallelujah. It is death proof. What else is it? It's undefiled. It's in perfect condition. It's not sin tanned. It's absolutely spotless. And as we say, it fades away. And now I hope you are not waiting for your mum and dad to pass on to get their inheritance. I hope you're not praying for that. I know he's quite well off, so I know. But if you go into his pillar, Word of Revelations, go underneath his pillar, you'll find a stash of dosh. But listen, listen, don't pray for your mum and dad to pass on so you can receive their inheritance. But it's when we get ours, when we pass on, isn't it? When we pass on, we're going to get our inheritance. And it's no good you, Katie, praying for it because they've definitely got nothing. How do I get them? How do I get it as we close? I'm just going to put them up because I think those three things sum up everything I'm saying today. My living hope is priceless. My living hope is pure. My living hope is permanent. How do I get it? I get it by faith, it says. Read what we read in 1 Peter 1, 3, 5. It is by faith. It is by faith. It is by you saying, I believe that if God says I've got a living hope, that's what I've got. I'm sorry so many of us don't grasp these things because we do not have faith. Faith is knowing that we haven't got what we're going to get. But believe me, sure, it's going to happen. It is going to happen. It's not a blindless faith. It's a faith which has substance. That's what it has. The New Testament speaks about it. In Hebrews 11:1, it literally means that which stands under. That which stands under. Now, faith is the assurance of the things we hope for, being the proof of things that we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Are you convicted this morning that God has a living hope for you this morning? Are you convicted that what God has promised, God will deliver? Do we cling to that? It's a Greek word, and the Greek word translated from that means evidence. Faith is evident, and you know the day you came to know Jesus, it's evident in your life, isn't it? You don't have to ask somebody, someone says he's saved, you say, I know, I know, I know, I know I'm born again. Well, there's an evidence in here, isn't there? How much evidence of this? It's plastering onto here, I think it keeps dropping up. But there's...
Why not climb it up here and let Alexis get in?
All right, I'm being dressed. Avril? Where was I? Oh, I was evident. Faith is evident. Do you know you have the Holy Spirit in your life? You'll say, yes, I do, because it's evident that I have the Holy Spirit. It's pretty evident. And God says, do you have the living hope the same way? Is it evident that you have a living hope? Do you live your life with a full confidence, like Corrie ten Boom, knowing that there's something far greater for us than what we have at this present time? Do you? Because that would excite us to work for the Master. That would excite us to be with Jesus. That will excite us in our prayer life. That will excite us when we want to come out and do the work for God. Why? Because we know deep inside us we've got something we're looking forward to. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things that God has for us. But do we believe it? Is it evident in our lives? Is it dropped into our spirits? But God is saying you may not have nothing in this life. But by golly, you don't know what I've got for you in the next one. David knew. And I think it's Psalm 11. He says, there are pleasures forevermore at thy right hand. There are pleasures forevermore at thy right hand. I think it's Psalm 11 or Psalm 16. I'm not sure which it is. I think it's the last verse of Psalm 11 or Psalm 16. I want to tell you that faith is evidence. Faith is substance. Faith is evidence. Faith is not based on human feeling. It's not a question of how I feel this morning. I know that I know that I know that I know that if something should happen to me today, I will enter the presence of God. It's not based on a feeling. I wake up some mornings, I don't feel like getting out of bed. For I rely upon my feelings. Wow. I rely upon this. If God says it's true, it has to be true. And it's not based on hope from a human point of view. Faith is based on the Word of God. The common phrase, I am hoping and praying, is incorrect for Christians. I am hoping and I'm praying is incorrect. We have a hope. We're not hoping that we have a hope. We have a hope. When we pray, we believe that God has heard our prayer. Amen. Don't we? Yes. We don't think, well, I wonder whether God is hearing us this morning. Faith tells me, I know that God is hearing me this morning. Faith tells me God will answer my prayer according to His will, not my will. Faith says, listen, I don't feel like sometimes But I'm not built in the natural. My faith must be built in the supernatural. That's the only way you can operate, my friend, is when we are in the supernatural. Because faith in the natural will pull you down because it's based on feelings. Faith in the supernatural is based on the Holy Spirit operating in your life. That is the difference. That is the difference. I am going to end now. It's 12 o'clock. But I hope your faith has got some substance. I hope it literally means that you are standing under what you believe is to be true. Because that's what faith means. Faith is substance which you believe you are standing in. For instance, gravity. I believe in gravity, Tom. Otherwise, I wouldn't need a spacesuit. I'd just be floating. You and I would just be floating around Pipers. I believe in gravity. I believe in aerodynamics. When a plane takes off and it loses the law of gravity and it takes over the law of aerodynamics, I don't want to be in it, but I do believe in it. I also believe in the law of spirituality. The super spirituality. I believe in that. And I believe that my faith is built in that. I want to end up with Corrie Ten Boom again. I love this dear lady. Simply she went through more in her lifetime than probably some of us, praise God, hopefully will never experience. But the lovely thing about Corrie Ten Boom was she was human. And one day, while she was in a meeting, a young man walked up to the front to her, and as this young man approached her, she knew he was the SS guard who had taken her sister into that concentration camp. And he walked up to her and he said, "I'm the SS soldier." She says, "I know you are." She says, "I want you to forgive me. I've become a Christian." And Corrie Ten Boom looked at him and thought, "I can never forgive you for what you have done. In the natural, I cannot forgive you." And she said she stood there for a few seconds staring into that man's eyes. As he stood there wanting forgiveness, he held out his hand. And she stood. And the word of God dropped into her. "You cannot do this in the natural, but you can do it in the supernatural. Stretch out your hand." And by faith she did it. Not in the natural, because she could not do it, but by faith. She went like that. And when his hand touched her hand, she said she felt the sudden power of God in her life. Amen. And she was able to forgive. And she was able to say, "I forgive you for the atrocities of that concentration camp." She could not work in the law of the natural. She could only work in the law of the supernatural. Because she had a living hope. She had a living hope. And Corrie Ten Boom defined it like this: faith is fantastic. It's an adventure. And what do you think? I can't think of a better definition this morning than faith. Faith is an adventure, friends. It's only when you put your hands in the hands of the Master and you allow him to take you to new territories. He's going to take you into areas that you may be frightened of. He may take you into areas which you're not sure of. But faith is a fantastic adventure. It's saying to God, "I trust you to take me wherever you want to take me this morning. It's an adventure. Because I'm trusting in him this morning." I left you a separate sheet on the living hope, which I hope really does encourage you. Seriously. We end with this. We're not going to talk about them. We're just going to end with them. Peter says, "Why have you got a living hope?" I've given you a leaflet this morning. I think Katie will have produced them for you. And please take them. They're on the back if you want them. It gives you every reason you should have a hope. I've given you loads of scriptures. There are just loads of the things there. Please take one. Pin it on your on your fridge, pin it on your bedroom wall. Have a look at it day by day, my friends. You need to go on an adventure with Jesus by faith. And when you read this, it will give you so much hope. But Peter ends up by saying, the author of salvation is portrayed as the blessed God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's where our hope is. Second of all, the work of salvation described to its effect. Its effect is, because Jesus has risen from the dead, you and I have got a living hope, and you and I will rise. That's what it's based on. Thirdly, the portrayal of salvation looks to the future. Jesus didn't save us just for a few years. He saved us to live in eternity with him. Hallelujah. This is a lively hope, has no element of uncertainty, for it's guaranteed by Jesus' resurrection from the dead. The believer's inheritance is described as incorruptible, imperishable, indestructible, the three I's, and undefiled. That fadeth not away. It means it is not subject to the ravages of time. Hallelujah. And finally, it is reserved. That is, it's been reserved in the past, it's reserved in the present, and it's going to be reserved for us in the future. We are secure because we are continually guarded by God, who never relaxes his vigil. Salvation here refers to final salvation. That is the deliverance from the presence of sin and into the presence of God. One day when the rapture comes, I believe we'll all still be alive, hopefully. The trumpet of God shall sound. The time will be no more for us. Before you can do that, you'll be transported into heaven. There you'll see the one that you've had your hope in. You will not be disappointed, because he's a living hope. Father, bless you this morning. Our hope is in Christ. Christ is in God. And you've invested in us through your Holy Spirit. I pray this week, Father, we will have more of a smile on our face when we realize that whatever life holds, nothing can change our situation in Christ. We have been saved with the incorruptible. We bless you and praise you. May we live for you this week, Father, in a new adventure. In Jesus' name.